Hello guys, my name is Garnet. I'm an addict from Germany. I'm very excited because first time I lead a workshop in English. A friend of mine said yesterday, don't worry, what should happen, you are in an A. There's only one thing you can make wrong, it's to try to do everything right. Okay. Welcome to the Embracing the Gift of Recovery workshop of WCNA 31. My name is Garnet and I'm an addict. And I have to ask you if there are any announcements before opening the meeting. Nothing? Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, give me the serenity to accept things we cannot change, the rest things I think I can, and the wisdom to discern the difference. Thank you. Emily has been asked to read. What is a Narcotics Anonymous program?
Hi everyone, I'm Emily, I'm an addict. What is a Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Shelley has been asked to read, Why Are We Here?
Hi, family. My name is Shelley B., blessed and grateful recovering addict from Queens, New York. Why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. Many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Hans, from Switzerland.
That's the spirit. Okay. Yeah, it's like the Hawaiians, the Swiss yodel too. Not me. Okay, I'm Hans, I'm an addict. From my home group is the On the Road group in Schaffhausen, Switzerland. It has anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 members. So you see, in NA you're never alone. I would like to thank the committee for inviting me, really. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. And I just think that the whole convention shows the love and care of NA. It's symbolized by this thing for me. I don't know. You know, it's some of you might not know what it is for, but it's something for the chronologically handicapped. Or the vain guys who don't want to wear glasses, you know, like me. Okay. But it's really thoughtful, you know, it's loving, really. Okay. Earlier on the convention, somebody said that his higher power had a sense of humor because he had to speak on a topic he had difficulty with. It was about trust, you know, trust, and the speaker explained why she had difficulty with trusting and so on. And I said, well, I thought, that's not the case for me, you know, embracing the gift of recovery, piece of cake, no problem. And then I thought about, well, wasn't it something about the gift issue, you know? I often think I don't need a gift, I don't deserve a gift, you know, I don't need something I buy, you know, I don't, and in consequence, I don't think others need gifts. And yeah, they should buy it, or no, whatever, you know. Or maybe they don't deserve it either. So there's a bit of a problem there, you know. So, but of course, I see recovery as really a gift. Just to say you where I come from, I tell you one episode from my using days. It was about 5 p.m., about 18 years ago. A.M., sorry, 5 a.m., about 18 years ago. I was waking up in a strange woman's bed because the sirens were going in the town and police cars were driving through the streets and explaining something through the loudspeakers. I couldn't get it because I was totally loaded. But what I did, I put on my clothes and went home to my apartment. And in addition, I was on call at that time. You know, I was supposed to be on call, and if something, I would have to go to work, you know, if there was a call. Later, I found out that the sirens were about a big accident in a pharmaceutical firm in my town. It was a fire. And the police were trying to tell the people, everybody, to stay inside, close the windows, close the doors, because there was the danger of toxic fumes, you know. But I didn't check it. I just went alone home through the very empty streets, you know. Of course, that didn't make me stop using her. I denied it, I forgot about it, you know. I just remembered when I came in the rooms that, and it still makes me cringe, you know. You know, these things, being in a strange woman's bed, being on call, being not responsible there, you know, and not protecting myself, even in the shouting through loudspeakers. I couldn't get it, you know. It's important that I tell this, you know, because sometimes I think, well, I'm at high bottom, I was a functional addict, you know, I always worked and stuff, you know, but often my health power protected me by a health risk from catastrophe, you know. Well, later I did actually hit bottom. It was, in retrospect, a very good thing, but at the time it was a terrible, terrible time. It took me about a week of utter despair, isolation, fear, hatred, a lot of negative emotions came together, triggered by a girlfriend of mine left for the second time because of my using. And but that was just a trigger. I didn't care too much of the girl, but
I just fell into that state, and the drugs had stopped working at that time, at exact that time. I couldn't get any relief from the drugs anymore. And I just got comatose for a few hours, then I used again, and the pain just wouldn't go away. And I actually didn't know what to do. I was at my wit's end. Later, I compared it to when I was taking the driver test, driving. I cannot discern left from right when I'm under stress. So I took it 2-3 times. And I managed on one of these tries to get the car into a corner and not being able to drive away myself. So I had to get out of the driver's seat, let the person who gave the test drive the car home, back, you know. Of course, the test was finished at that time, but that was the situation I was in. I knew I had put that car, my life, into that corner, and I didn't know how to get out, you know. It took me 1 week of immense suffering. That was my partner. I have prepared myself for many other things to happen, you know, accidents or loss of jobs or whatever, you know, illnesses, prison, whatever, you know. And then that came. I have how I had that engineer very clever. So finally, I called the Auto Fellowship. I had heard about it, but because of the God issue, I never wanted to do anything with that sect. Anyhow, I called. 2 hours later, I was on my first meeting, and I was very welcomed. And that was actually the turning point in my life. NA. I had a friend who wanted to start NA. There was no NA in Switzerland. He talked to me about it, and I said, "Do it, you know." It's not for me, I'm not an addict. Actually, my higher power put me into NA, I just want to tell you that. The friend said one of these days, there will be a meeting at another friend's house. Will you come? I said, yeah. He would have told me that it was an NA meeting, I wouldn't have come. But there I was, and he said, this is going to be an NA meeting. And I almost fell off the chair, you know, because I knew all those people from the Olive Fellowship, and then we talked about the first step, and somehow it got to me, the concept of addiction, you know. And next time the meeting was, I had a new clean date, and that's how it goes. For me, it was a new life, you know. Coming to the fellowship was really being reborn, you know. And having the freedom to change, I slowly saw that I could change a lot, really a lot of things, you know, over time, if I wanted to. And that's really one of the gifts. The first gift, of course, is to be clean, you know. And in the beginning, I was nothing more. That was all I wanted, you know. And with time, I thought, yeah, why not really embrace what there is, the whole thing, you know, the whole package we have here, you know. And it was given to me, the gift of recovery. It was given to me. My job is now to preserve it, to keep it shining, you know, to work on it all the time, and to give it away so I can keep it. Of course, I got a lot of other gifts. When I came into fellowship, I was alone. I had no plans of not being alone. But today I have a family, I have children. I reconciled reconciliation with my old family, or my biological family. For example, my father died last year or beginning of this year. And sadly, he was 87, sadly had to spend a few weeks in a mental hospital before he died. He got crazy, aggressive to my mom and himself, and he just had to be protected. And actually I was the one who said, okay, now we have to get him into this institution. And I prayed that he could kind of find some peace, you know. On Christmas Day, I got a call from that institution. They wanted me to inform that because he had refused to eat, drink, take his medication, they would have to put an IV line in him, and they would have to do it forcibly, time at 5 points, and they just wanted to inform me that they have to do this. They rarely seem to do this nowadays, but they thought this was the case. So I told them, well, I'll be over there in a few minutes, and I put in IV lines professionally all the time. I'll do it, and without tying him up. And it was Christmas Day, and that was the biggest Christmas gift I could give the staff there. They were just so relieved, you know. They didn't have to go through this, and I was relieved to be of help, you know, to my father and to them. And my father still, he was crazy at the time here, but I could do it. It was no problem. About 2 weeks later, I visited him with my 11-year-old daughter, and I found him at peace. He was serene, he was smiling, watching a bit TV. He was completely changed. And it was a very nice visit. There was no problem anymore. The next morning they couldn't wake him up, so they put him in a hospital. He was in a comatose, in a coma, you know. And another day later, I went to visit him, just still in a coma. And I grabbed his hand, and he took it in both hands, you know. You couldn't talk to him, you couldn't open his eyes, but he actually grabbed it. And it was a very big moment for me to be able to be there with him. And a few hours later, he died. So that's really a gift of my recovery. Okay, recovery for me is, of course, the steps. It's about the steps, you know. It's in the steps. At first I just worked the first three, and then I found another spiritual program outside this kind of philosophical or religious program. And I was very happy with that, you know. I prayed for it. With the higher power, I had a lot of problems in the beginning. I was a fierce atheist, fierce. But later I wanted one, and I took the suggestion, just something that is higher, loving and caring. That was, for a long time, my higher power. No shape, no form, just loving me unconditionally, caring for me meant if I prayed for help, I got it, and it was higher than me. And so it went for a few years. And I developed trust in that power. I didn't know what it was, you know, but it worked. And later I got into that other thing, and I prayed for a higher power that would suit me. And I got it, I was led to it. And but then I saw about 99% of the addicts wouldn't go for the same thing, you know, so I couldn't help them directly. I would have to help them by being a sponsor and showing them how to work the steps, but I'm working myself. So I prayed about that, and my higher power sent me a guy who got clean in the States, and he knew about the program, sponsorship and so on. He said, well, why don't you be my sponsor and work the steps with me? At that time, at about 8 years clean, I said, okay, I haven't done it, but you know what? I just do it, and then I show him to my sponsor. I had a sponsor, but he hadn't worked the steps either. And then I show you how to do it. And the guy was pushing all the time, so I had to work the steps in writing. And my sponsor called on. He did the same. and showed others how to do it, you know, and so it went, you know. Well, for me, just to make it short, the steps have one goal, and that is to develop a functioning relationship with a higher power. That's for me the essence of the steps, you know. If you have that, then you're okay, you know. My job is to intensify and to deepen that relationship with my higher power once I got it. And for example, if a sponsor of mine has that, then my work is kind of done, you know. He can always turn to his higher power and, yeah. Today, I would say I don't have problems. You know, there was a meeting called Unresolved Problems. I said, well, I don't need to go to that. I've just the things to work on or work through, you know, but unresolved problems, no, really, it's not for me. it's just things to... One thing to work with and work through is my wife. She is a gift from a higher power, just to tell you. Because early recovery, so relationships, that's one thing to turn over. Higher power, you tell me when and who, you know, and when I was at the point of really believing that, you know, it was really in no question about it, a person showed up, you know, and I saw, yeah, of course, I would never have chosen that person, but it's my wife now. So I saw it was a higher power thing. It's a gift. But still today, I think, what kind of a gift is that sometimes, you know? And then I say, well, that's probably no mistake, you know, it's probably something I have to work through somehow, you know, and I do a lot of training. And during that time, I maybe do a 10th step on it, you know, and an 11th step, and after a few hours, I see why it is that way. She can still push my buttons, you know, that's really a gift. Somebody, to have somebody near you, who still now can push your buttons, you know, and so you can change, I can grow, you know. And, well, just about swimming. One thing, I like to swim, I have to say that, you know, it's maybe an obsession, maybe a compulsion. Just before the meeting, I came out of the water a second time. I had my 3 miles done. And when I came out on the beach, they had three people were pushing about 80-year-old lady in a wheelchair into the sea, you know, up to her knees in the wheelchair. And she was having the greatest time. She was laughing, and you know, it was the greatest time. So please, if you ever see me in that state, push me with a wheelchair into the sea, if I can go alone, you know. But maybe before that, push me to a meeting. And okay, just to finish up, the greatest gift, actually that is my higher power, the greatest gift I've gotten in my recovery. My higher power explains a lot of things and everything to me, everything. It's my job to study, to contemplate it, and to meditate on it. And I do that since about 12 years. And I learned some discipline, and there are some results. And I see where I can go. I know where I can go, but I sometimes feel it too. And it can go to a state of utter bliss, you know, total happiness, no fear, no, just, I can see that I can go there, but how do you say it? The thing about it is, my higher power tells me I can only have it, not even have it, give it away if I want it for others too, you know. I can only have it if I want it for others too. That's the catch, you know, the catch. So it's like the program, you know. I can only have it if I'm prepared to give it away. And with that, I close. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Hans. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Susan B. from Minnesota.
I'm an addict. My name is Susan. And one of the gifts I've gotten this weekend is I can say konnichiwa, aloha, hi all y'all. And then I asked one of my friends, how do you say it in other languages? I was going to get them all written down, but okay. Thank you, Hans, for sharing. I'm honored that the WICNA 31 thought that I had something to give away. I believe that's a direct result of working the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. My sponsor is the best sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. And if you need the best sponsor of Narcotics Anonymous, I'll be happy to give her your number. Give you her number after. She'll kill me. So with that said, I'm really nervous. I feel overwhelmed when I look at some of the sea of faces I see in front of me, those of you that I know and that I don't know. And I've come to believe in Narcotics Anonymous that diversity is our strength. And that's a powerful statement in and of itself. More powerful than any words that I could make up about what I see right now with the men and the women and the cultures that are represented in this room right now and across this convention center over the course of this weekend. For those of you that saw the Japanese provide us with a beautiful cultural experience last night, it was unbelievable, and that is a gift of recovery for me. I went to the dance after that. I was all hyped up. And I had about 32 cups of coffee, and I went to the dance, and all of a sudden, some of the Japanese that had been in the performance were there dancing, and I don't speak Japanese, but I wanted to tell them thank you, and I wanted to tell them, oh my gosh, that was awesome. And I walked over, and I was like, hi, and they're like, you know, and I'm like, aloha, and they're like, aloha, and I went, Japanese, and they're like, and I said, drum. And then I did that thing where I went boom and I lifted my leg and they went and I said mahala. And I have no idea if I pronounced everything right or not, but they got it. And that was a gift of recovery that I could come so far from this town in Minnesota to Hawaii, learn a couple of words that are native to this culture and share that with another culture, and it all made sense in the middle of some, you know, hip-hop rap song on the dance floor. That's the diversity of Narcotics Anonymous that is our strength. Embracing the gift of recovery means like a million things to me. And I asked two of my friends the other day, I said, okay, I'm getting nervous about my workshop. Now, what does embracing the gift of recovery mean to you? Tell me what words. And they're like, joy, commitment, you know. And they came up with all these words. And I said, maybe I'll ask you guys to come up. And you can just share about those words, and I can say that that's what I thought it meant. And, you know, I didn't do that, and I started thinking about it some more and got more nervous. And then just before the meeting started, two of my NA sisters and their sister-in-law came up to me, and we went in the back hallway here in the bowels of the convention center and prayed. And two of them are wearing white pants, and I have black on. I'm like, are you guys okay if we hit our knees? And we did, and we prayed. And I'm still nervous, but I know everything's going to be okay. It's like I know it's not going to be like that Iggy Pop concert I went to when they threw stuff at him to get him off the stage, you know. So I know that everything will be okay. Ultimately, no matter what, it'll be okay. I got clean in Las Vegas. Thank you to those of from Las Vegas that are here. My roots that NA are in Las Vegas, and they always will be. More of my recovery has been spent in Minnesota, and it's my home. But there was a beginning for me in a fellowship that taught me how to embrace recovery and the gift that recovery had to offer in a way that, of course, I have never experienced before. Those things, I believe, for us in our first few years of recovery that help us understand what Narcotics Anonymous can mean to us, wherever they are like no other experiences I have had. The women that held me, the people that helped me learn the language, that helped me see through my insanity, that had nothing to do with using drugs, that patronized me and put up with me at all the area and regional meetings, that looked to me for guidance and support through working their steps with me. All of those things in that part of my recovery, in that 5 years of my recovery, helped me become the woman that I am today. So when I look out there and I see some of my friends from Las Vegas, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. And I cry all the time, so this isn't new. As a matter of fact, in Las Vegas, they used to bring me Kleenex at meetings. And that's a gift that I embrace in recovery today, because I was flatliner by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous with my emotions. I was a people-pleasing, chameleon, flatliner. I was who you wanted me to be. I made sure you were happy so I could get what I wanted from you. And I didn't really get into my emotions. So I was flat. And Narcotics Anonymous released my passion for living, my passion for the steps, my passion for experiencing life and embracing recovery for all it has to offer. So I'm grateful for that. And you know, then I look out there and I see some of my friends. There's a woman here that I went to treatment with about 18 years ago. We made it. We were the statistic. And I think about that, and I am so grateful that my God continues to show me those little things through life experiences that I can't figure out for myself. No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I manipulate, no matter how hard I control, no matter what I do, my God just brings those to me, and then I get the chance to have that moment of clarity that says, okay, I can embrace this, and this can be a part of who I am today. You know, I think of a gift as something that I receive and something that I give. Now, here's the deal with gifts, right, for me, is I get them, and I receive them, and I give them unconditionally. When I give somebody a gift, I'm like not expecting a thank you card, or for them to get me a gift next time it's a special occasion for me. So that seems so simple to me, but yet that's just so such a huge life lesson for me, because I don't do that in all areas of my life. I have expectations, and I judge people, and I go, oh, she must be new. You know, and you know, it's about how we're acting or how I acted, or how I dressed, or what I did. It has nothing to do with her. It has to do with me sleeping my way through the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for 5 years. It has to do with pieces of clothing that I own that I don't know what they covered up. It has nothing to do with anybody else. So that whole gift part for me, that I can give one and receive one so unconditionally, is part of the lessons in my life to learn how to apply that through other areas, right? And continue to learn and grow through my experiences about who I am and about what I want to be. So part of the gift of recovery for me and embracing it, this is my embrace sign, is that I have to be open to experiencing life fully. So that means that when it's Christmas morning and my daughter, she's going to be 10 in a couple weeks, is opening Christmas presents, because that's the holiday we observe. And she is like an, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 year old. You know, she's full out ripping them through. I don't even think she sees what it is, and she's onto the next box. And there's so much joy and so much happiness and so much pleasure and so much love that I can just feel that. You know, that I can sit back and take pictures and cry and be happy. And that's one of the gifts that I get. And for me, kind of the other extreme is the pain, right? So I can hide from it. I can deny it. I can walk away from it. I can pretend like it's not going on. I heard a speaker earlier today talking about, you know, that whole denial process when we're in pain that just says, I can heal it. I've been through this before. I helped thousands of people through this before. I can do this. And that's, you know, part of who I am today. You know, I'm working through a process right now of loss, and I'm struggling. You know, I
used to hear people say, oh, it doesn't matter how long you're clean, you know, you still get the stuff going on and it ticks you to your knees. And I used to think, yeah, well, when I get, you know, that much done, that won't be me. And the reality is that today, you know, I have the gift of a little bit of clean time in Narcotics Anonymous, and I lost my mom and my grandma and my dad in the last couple of years, and I'm struggling. Every time I get on a plane, I think, oh, my God, the next level's here. I'm the next level of my family now. And I get on the plane and start taking it. I'm like, oh, God, don't let it be this level. You know, none of them died in a plane crash, but, of course, that's where my dope fiend brain goes, the drama. The, oh, my God, I'm going to die on the plane. And, you know, I can't go to Hawaii. You know, it's like that's how fast it works for me. It goes from a semblance of reality and embracing the fact that I got the opportunity to take care of my mom when she was dying. And then I got the opportunity to take care of my grandma. Because of Narcotics Anonymous. So I hate how my face looks when I cry. Oh, I used to have this sponsee that would go like this. I can't look at him when I cry. So I told her to look to the side. So the privilege in recovery for me today is that I show up no matter what. The privilege for me in accepting the gift that you gave me by telling me things like get a sponsor, work the steps, go to 90 meetings in 90 days, do service, show up, do the right thing for the right reason, help other people learn how to help themselves, read the basic text. All those things that you told me when I first came here still apply to me today, and I'm using them. You know, I'm reaching out. I'm telling people how I'm feeling. I went to, like, all my NA systems. Like, okay, I'm sharing at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and I'm whipped. You know, I got nothing to give. I need you to be there. If you can be there, I'd really like you to be there. I said to some of my friends, you know, I'm going to ask for what I need right now. And what I need is you to be around. I need you to hold me. I went to my home group. I said, you know what? My front door is open. I'm leaving it unlocked these days. My phone number hasn't changed. It takes a village to raise a kid, and it takes Narcotics Anonymous to raise me up beyond this pain. I want you to stop by whenever you want. You don't got to bring food. You don't got to bring nothing. You just got to come by. You just got to hug me. You just got to let me know you're thinking about me. Leave me a note on the door. I'll leave sticky notes on the door if you just want to leave notes. You know, and I'm just sharing with everybody, like, this is what I need right now. And my addiction, clean, is I'm okay. Okay? So I got past sleeping with all the guys, and then I went to, I'm okay. No problem. Okay, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong. The gift of recovery for me today and the way I embrace it today, and I'm talking about this weekend, this last month, this last 2 months, this last 3 months, this last 6 months of the death and the dying and asking for what I need, that's me embracing the gift of recovery for me today. I haven't done that before these instances in my life occurred, these huge losses occurred that said, hey, wake up. You can't do this on your own. You know, you're not going to get what you need from your sister or your brother or your daughter or, for God's sakes, your coworkers. Right? You walk down the hall 3 days, you get 3 days off, boom, you're back. That's it. That's over. You know? Okay, society, thank you very much. So the reality is that I need you guys because I can't do that with just them in their parameters, with their metrics. That doesn't work for me. Narcotics Anonymous is the only thing that's worked for me. It's the only thing that I've been able to stay clean behind. It's the only thing that's made me, I am a productive member of society. I am a responsible, productive member of society. In my community, this isn't about how good I am. This is about everything I've wanted to become. I've wanted to become like a member at my daughter's school that other parents respected. I got them fooled. None of them know I'm a dope fiend. Did you read today's reading about anonymity, right? Okay, we don't got to tell everybody. Look at me, I'm a recovering dope fiend. Look at how good I am. I just walked in there because I was Vonnie's mom, and I started volunteering. And I'm a productive member of society today. There's a few elderly folks that live in my neighborhood, and I go do things for them because I want to, because it makes me feel good about who I am. To me, that's part of embracing recovery. It's not just everything's different for everybody, but for me, it's not just going to NA meetings and hanging out in the rooms and white-knuckling it through life. I don't want that. For God's sakes, other than the meetings, that's what I had before I got here. You know, I want to embrace everything that this program can be for me, which I believe is a stepping stone to life. I'm not going to leave, and I have a resentment to all those people that stick around for a while and do leave. I'm going to keep going to meetings. I'm going to keep doing the things that you taught me. I'm going to keep showing up no matter what's going on in my life, whether it's Christmas morning or my mom just died. And I'm going to do those things because I know ultimately that's the gift. That's what I get. Through that process, you know, Hans talked about his higher power. He talked about that being the ultimate gift. And I got here and I was an atheist. My first higher power was a light bulb. You turn it on, it got hot, you touch it, you got burned. It was simple then. And that's what, you know, that's how it works for me. And through this program, you know, I can tell you I have a loving God in my life today, that God has come to mean good, orderly direction for me. It means that I can seek guidance from friends and that I can reach out to him and say, I'm screwed up. I need help. It means that I can, you know, give guidance to others even when I think I got nothing to give. You know, the women that I sponsor, they mean the world to me. I don't know how I would have been able to just journey through this last 6 to 8 months without them, with my friends and my sponsees. I haven't missed work, you know, other than the 3 days I got off. I haven't had to do things that put me back into areas that are not healthy for me. Right, so I haven't had to use, I haven't had to have random sex with a stranger, I haven't had to spend so much money on my credit card that I feel so good that day wearing that outfit when I get the bill the next day I can't pay my mortgage. You know, I haven't had to do things that are just not good for me. What I can tell you is that recovery for me is like a total package. It gives me the steps so I can find a God, so I can become to get to that woman that I want to be. You know, I was a good daughter. At 5 years clean, I made the commitment behind a night step to move back to Minnesota to help take care of my mom because she was sick. 13 years later, she died. Did I want to leave my friends in Las Vegas? No, because I was going to be president of NA there. But but I did, right? Because of the steps. Not because of some wonderful person that I am. It's because God, through the steps, at some moment of clarity in my life, said, you know what? You might want to help out your sister. You might want to think about living in the frozen tundra. You might want to just go there. And, you know, the reality for me today is I don't make those decisions because of who I am. I make those decisions because of what you gave me, because of the gift of recovery, because I do choose to embrace it. I want it all. I am a dope fiend. I want it all. I don't need it all right now anymore. I just want it. You know, I want to continue to be a productive member. I want to continue to walk through this pain. I'm reaching out and doing some different things and trying some different avenues to get through the pain. And, you know, I know that there's another side. I went to the grieving workshop today. I walked up to one of those speakers. I said, thank you for letting me know I'm not crazy. That validation was enough to get me through today. You know, and that's, you know, that's how I embrace it today. You know, recovery to me is the ultimate gift. And through the process of finding Narcotics Anonymous through an H&I meeting at that treatment center that we were at together so long ago, I got the chance to find you people. And finally, for the first time in my life, I'm a part of you. You know, I was always on the outside looking in, and now I'm on the inside reaching out. And I feel good about that today. You know, I just want to thank you for listening. I feel so glad to be clean. I don't know how to tell you that because I know you know it. But I am so glad just to be clean today. To be, you know, the whole frosting, icing on the cake thing going on right now with Hawaii and all these people. I mean, that's just more than I can even, you know, like put into words. But the bottom line is I'm glad to be clean. I'm glad that I have a sponsor. I'm glad that I go to meetings. I'm glad that I'm open to learning about life on life's terms. Even when I don't like it or it feels bad. And I'm really, really super grateful that you were here today and allowed me to share with you. Thanks.
That's thanks. Hans Georg and Susan for speaking. Now we have a few minutes if someone wants a chair.
I'm an act named Beverly, and I definitely would not come up here at a world convention and share, but I have to say that you reached me, because my brother just got killed recently, and we buried him on Saturday, and that Sunday I caught a plane out here, and it has just been so much stuff in my life right now, and I just feel like it's one thing after another, and you know, I have two teenage girls, and one is 18, and the other one is 16, and the one is 18. You know, they're both wonderful. She's so responsible, and I left them home with my husband, who used. And they called me up like 6 o'clock in the morning, or more like 2:30 in the morning here, you know, and told me what happened. And I've just been crying so much. You know, and at one point I thought, you know, I got those 3 days off of work and I cried each day and I went back to work. And everything that you said through the help of my sponsor and, you know, I have a sponsee and a couple of them and just people being in my life, I have such a wonderful support group, you know, like they helped me get through this. And I woke up 6 o'clock this morning crying and I went in the bathroom and I tried to use my cell phone to be quiet because I have somebody that I came out here with. And she was in the room, and it just all came out, you know. And she got up, and she's like, oh, are you okay? And, you know, and I just felt like, I met a woman, Pat, and it's like God put her in my life for this moment. You know, and when she sat on the bus and she started talking to me, everything in me said, I don't want to talk. You know, and then the spiritual side of me said, tell her what's going on. And I did. And she's walking me through it for right now. But I'm hurting. And I, too, don't want to be crying, and I don't want people to see me crying. And it's like I cried so much this morning, my eyes were red, and I didn't want to be walking around with red eyes. And my girlfriend said, well, are you going to sit in here all day and be depressed? And I thought, hell no, I'm not going to sit in here all day and be depressed. It's a world convention going on, and I'm going to go out there and go to some meetings. I didn't know I was going to run into somebody. I didn't know that God was going to put somebody in my life for the moment or for a couple of hours to walk me through, because she had some things to do. And I ran back into my girlfriend, and she's like, come on over here. And I'm like, I don't want to be with you and your man. You know, and I just had to be honest with her and say, you know, that should be me with my husband. I don't want to be sitting over there with you and y'all all happy, and nor do I want her to feel like, and I know I can't make her feel anything, but when people are close to you and they love you, they can't help but to feel it. And I don't want her to feel that. I want her to go and have fun, because whatever I'm feeling, I'm going to get through, and I'm going to get to the other side, because all the things that you talked about I have, from a sponsor to step work to a foundation to stability. And I, too, am a productive member of society. I don't have to do too much of the school thing anymore because my daughter's in the 10th grade, the last one. The other one's out of school, but I still show up. I showed up for the college meeting, you know, and not because I'm this great addict like you said. I'm just Beverly, and I'm just their mom. And, you know, mostly people say, oh, those are your daughters. They look like your sisters. And, of course, you know, okay, blow my head up. Tell me more. And she's like, well, that's my mom. But I'm grateful that the gift of recovery has allowed me to be able to raise my daughter, where she can be responsible while I'm here. Because I left for the car, you know, and she's been responsible for so long. She wanted to drive since she was 16, and she got a license, y'all, and she is a very good driver. And I have a girlfriend, and her daughter has been in 3 different accidents, and I say, thank God. And I just keep praying that God take her through. And I called her last night, and she was just hanging out. I said, okay, I'm going to call you back when I think you're home. But those are some of the gifts that God has allowed me to see. And I can't really take the credit, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here, and they definitely wouldn't be the people that they're growing up to be today. You know, you talked about it takes a village to raise a child, and people in NA today are helping me to grow up. That little girl inside of me who just mourns for attention and love and all those good things. And, you know, you talked about spending the money, and I had to laugh at that point and then get the bill and felt like, oh, Lord, what did I do? But I did buy a timeshare since I've been out here. And because I figure I take vacations every year, and it's really an investment, and I can get a chance to take money. Look, I'm justifying it now, right? But I just really want to thank you for sharing, and I'm probably going to be crying, walking around a little bit more, but I know I'm in the right place, and it's a blessing just to be in a place with people who are in recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
We have another 3 or 5 minutes if somebody wants.
My name's Liz, and I'm a very grateful recovering addict from San Diego, California. And today is my birthday. I'm 20 years old today. You know, it's really, really, really awesome to be here in sunny Hawaii. You know, and they threw this huge party for my birthday. I'm going around telling people that and laughing about it, you know. But you know what? I love being in recovery. And it's been a long 20 years. Struggled a little. I've been through my ups and downs in recovery with my daughter. Been through surgeries. Married. Divorced. Boyfriends, no boyfriends. Jobs, no jobs. You know, and when I went through my first surgery, sober and clean, you know, they were giving me medication because I had serious back surgery, and luckily I had some 5 years or 6 years or whatever it was, my first surgery, and I told them no drugs, no dope, no Vicodin, no any of that shit. Of course, when you have the surgery and right after, they have to pump you full of stuff so you don't die of the pain, but I never went home with any mind-altering chemicals. I didn't want them, you know. I had to have them while I was in the hospital on my various visits, and it was horrible. I didn't like being loaded. It was awful, you know, and I'm so glad I don't have to go out and find that next rock or that next joint or that next drink or whatever it is, you know, because it's all just one big old thing, you know. I'm really glad that I'm here. Both of my sponsors are on vacation elsewhere from San Diego, so I can't even call them. But that's okay, because I got thousands of people here, you know, that I can grab. And I've seen some of my friends here from San Diego, and it's just really, really awesome. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Liz. Kurt has been asked to read just for today. Please come up.
Hi, my name is Kurt. I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program and will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Okay, brothers and sisters, let's make a circle around the room and close the meeting with a third step prayer.